Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 11th day of March, 2024. Before I introduce my guest and our topic for the day, I want to remind you that this Friday, March 15th at 7 p.m., I will be on Long Island, New York at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin, Long Island to MC the Grace Christian Academy of Long Island fundraising gala. The guest speaker that night will be author and educator Dr. Ernie Zara, who's been on my program a number of times. And I hope that as many of you in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience can attend that as possible, especially those of you who live on Long Island or near there. And if you want more details on registering for this fundraising gala, go to gcali.com. gcali.com/gala. Once again, that's gcali.com/gala. And all the information that you'll need to register will be right there on that website. And I hope to see as many of you as possible there. That's this Friday, March 15th, 7 p.m. at the Coral House Catering Hall, Baldwin, Long Island. But I'm absolutely thrilled to have a first-time guest today, whom I was introduced to through the webcast of my very dear longtime friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. I'm speaking, of course, about The Dividing Line. And I saw the interview that James conducted with Tobias Riebenschneider, and I knew immediately that I wanted to have Tobias on the program. Tobias is pastor of the Evangelical Reformed Baptist Church in Frankfurt, Germany, where he is conducting this interview live right now. He's also a trained lawyer, founder of Pro Reggae Ministries, and an anti-abortion activist. He is also the co-author of the Frankfurt Declaration of Christian and Civil Liberties. And today we're going to be addressing the theme of his book, Resisting Tyranny, A Christian Response to Government Overreach. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Tobias Riebenschneider.
Thank you, brother. It's a great pleasure and honor for me to be here.
Well, first of all, let our listeners know about the Reformed Baptist, the Evangelical Reformed Baptist Church of Frankfurt, Germany.
Yes. So, we started working on this church plant in April 2014. That is my now co-pastor, Peter Schild, and myself. And the church was officially constituted in November 2016. And it is one of only very few Reformed, especially Reformed Baptist churches in Germany. And by the grace of God, we grew and are still growing quite a lot. At least for German dimensions, not for American dimensions, I guess. But so currently in our church service, you know, we have about 150, 160, 170 people in our church services right now.
Wow.
And the number is growing. And I Yeah, so this makes us the biggest Reformed church in all of Germany.
Well, you know, and, you're not far from being the biggest Reformed church in all of the United States, because Reformed Baptist churches, I should say, Reformed Baptist churches tend to be rather comparatively small, not because of the stereotype of us not being interested in evangelism is true. That's false. But because the things that we teach are very often, depending upon where you live, they're very unpopular.
Yes.
Because we really militate against the modern culture and the watered-down gospel of mainstream evangelicalism.
Yes, that's true, and so do we. I mean, preaching Calvinism, that is, you know, so no one in Germany really likes Calvinism, right? That makes you a really strange guy. And of course, other things. But actually, that is precisely why people, especially younger people, are drawn to us. Because most churches in Germany are very liberal, are more about entertainment than actually about the Bible and the Word of God. Many are charismatics and so on and so forth. So if you're looking for something like a Reformed church where there's good Bible preaching and so on, where there's solid, robust theology, then you don't have many options. And I guess that's why we are growing, because we are one of those few churches. And people, especially young people, are more and more yearning for this, because I think they realize how empty most churches are. So, yeah, I think that's a good development. It's still a small development, yeah, but something is happening, I hope.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants to find out more about this fine congregation in Frankfurt, Germany, go to erb-frankfurt.de. That's erb-frankfurt.de. And God willing, we'll be repeating that throughout the show. And also, let us know about the Frankfurt Declaration.
Yes. So, during COVID, Germany was really hit hard. Not so much by the virus, but more by the state measures. And I know there were a few states in America, like California, that all also had very harsh restrictions. But I guess Germany was probably even harsher. So we ended up with every politician basically advocating for a general mandatory vaccination for the entire populace. And so it by God's grace, it never came. But it was a very frightening time. The state was very aggressive and overreached. At first I was a little scared. I mean, I knew right from the beginning when they first started and said, okay, there will be a lockdown in 3 days. No one is allowed to leave the house. And also church services are not allowed. Close your church. I knew right from the beginning, that's not right. I cannot do that. We cannot stop worshiping God. So we still met. We couldn't meet in the church building we are using, because it's not our own. We rented it from another church, and they said, you can't have it. It's closed. So we met in the houses of brothers and sisters. We split up into smaller groups, met in the houses. So I knew right from the beginning, we cannot just do what the state is demanding. This would be wrong. We have to worship God. We have to have fellowship. We have to continue to care for our sick and so on. So, but I was a little afraid. This was the first time I really went against the state, went against law. Normally I didn't do that. Yeah. So this was exciting. And I tried to, basically to do everything in secret. So hoping and praying that no one would find out, that the police wouldn't come, that the neighbors wouldn't call the police and so on. But then something changed. And I can't pinpoint that. It was exactly when I heard that Pastor James Coates in Canada was thrown into jail because he stayed, his church stayed open. Yeah. And there I realized, okay, now they're really going aggressively against my brothers. I cannot remain silent. I have to join the fight, and I have to, I have to raise my voice against this injustice. So, together with my co-pastor, we draw a first statement for Germany, where we basically said, okay, this is wrong from a biblical standpoint. We brought biblical arguments, gave the Bible verses. Okay, this is wrong. We should not obey. This is tyranny. We have to resist. And then came the time when, I was contacted by a brother from London, and he had this idea to bring together pastors from all around the world to write a joint declaration, a joint statement against those COVID measures. And so I joined this group online, after a few weeks, I guess, it became clear that not everyone was going to the same direction. So a group split up, which consisted of three pastors, including myself, and then also a pastor from France, who's actually an American missionary to France, but has been ministering in France for 40 years, and a pastor from South Africa. And over the course of, a few months, we met on a regular basis online and draw up this Frankfurt Declaration. And, of course, we had no idea if anyone would be interested in reading our declaration. Yeah. But I tried to pull my contacts. I tried to contact my friends, for example, James White, a common friend we have. Also James Coates, who became my friend during COVID. And so everyone I contacted, almost everyone, I mean, there were one or two exceptions, of course, but almost everyone was really happy, was really delighted with this declaration. And they said, I will sign it and I will help you to send it on to other guys who might also want to sign it. And so this quickly became a much bigger thing that we had ever imagined. Mm. And probably the most, the biggest surprise probably was when I got an email in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. or 2:30 a.m., from the office of John MacArthur. They were telling me John MacArthur wants to sign the declaration.
Wow.
And this was really amazing because I was told in advance, it would probably not happen because normally he wouldn't sign anything where he wasn't involved and so on
right.
in the drafting. And, so this was, I really got tears in my eyes. I was so, so amazed how God was blessing this declaration we dropped. So yes, this is basically the story behind this declaration.
Well, praise God. And if anybody wants to find out more information about the Frankfurt Declaration, you could go to frankfurtdeclaration.com, frankfurtdeclaration.com. And before we go into the heart of our theme today, which is your book on resisting tyranny, a Christian response to government overreach, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of his or her salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious upbringing in which that person may have been raised. Also, what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I would love to hear your story.
Yes, happy to give you my story. So I was born in 1983, and I was born into the New Apostolic Church, not the New Apostolic Reformation, the New Apostolic Church. They trace their roots back to England, 1830s England. There was a group around Edward Irving, maybe that name
yes.
Rings a bell with some. Yeah.
Yeah, he's considered to be the grandfather of the charismatic movement in many.
Exactly, circles, right? Exactly. Yes, and I think John Nelson Darby also joined the meetings a few times. So, but this was this circle, and out of this circle came this. Well, they first called themselves the Catholic Apostolic Church. So the basic idea was that there are new apostles
right.
now, 12 apostles, which would basically lead the bride, lead the church to Christ. So they thought that Christ was coming back during their lifetimes of those 12 apostles, so that there were those 12 apostles who founded the church, and now there are 12 apostles who are the last, in the last days when Christ returns, and they will present the bride to Christ. So obviously that did not happen. This is almost 200 years ago. Those self-proclaimed apostles started dying, and Christ had not come back. And when there was only one apostle left in England, this church had already spread to Hamburg in Germany. And the Germans said, okay, we need new apostles. And so there was a split, and this became, a little later on, the New Apostolic Church. And they now have, they are a global church. They are especially big in Germany and Switzerland, but also in quite a few African countries. They are also in America, but it's a small minority.
By the way, are they anti-Trinitarian?
Yeah. No, they are not. No, so... You know, they have some true teaching. They believe in the Trinity. They believe that Christ is the Son of God. But it's still a false church, because you put your main trust not into Christ, but in those apostles. They are basically like the Pope, mm-hmm. or like the Catholic Church. Yeah, you need them as your mediators.
Right. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses as well. They do that with the Watchtower mm-hmm. Society.
Yeah, right. So, and you would also not really hear the gospel proclaimed, because, sin wasn't really an issue, at least not when I was in that church. I mean, it became more and more liberal, and you wouldn't hear much about sin. And if you don't hear about sin, if you don't hear about a righteous God, but only a loving God who would forgive everyone freely, then you don't understand why you need Christ dying on a cross for your sins. So I never really heard the gospel presented in a truthful biblical way. I thought I would earn my way to heaven, just be a good New Apostolic Christian, go to church, try to be not as sinful as those outsiders, and that's it. So I was in that church for 30 years.
Wow. There was a, I don't know if it's still there, but I was saved in a Reformed Baptist church in Amityville, Long Island. At that time, it was called Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville. It later became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, after a merger with a Reformed Baptist Church in Merrick. But when the church was in Amityville, it was right down the road from the New Apostolic Church of North America.
Okay.
Yeah, on County Line Road in Amityville. And I don't know if it's affiliated with the same group, but I remember I brought flyers for a debate with James White over there once. And every man in the building, I was sneaking in during a worship service. Every man was wearing a black suit, white shirt, and black tie, and every woman was wearing a white blouse and a black skirt.
Yes, yes.
So that they did that in your group too?
Yes. So they don't do that anymore, except for really important church services. So so when an apostle actually comes to your church, to your congregation, and preaches there, then you would still dress up in, and also all the office bearers, they always wear black shirt, black suits, black tie, white shirt. So they still kept some of that. And then what happens is I turned 18 and was about to finish school, and I wanted to use the last summer vacation to go to America and be in with a host family, an American host family. And my sister wanted to join me. She's 2 years younger, so I was 18, she was 16. And we contacted an organization that that found host families for you in America. And they found a family for us in Florida. and everything really sounded great. You know, they had a big house, they had a pool, and we were really looking forward to that. Yeah. So Florida, sun and beach and everything. And then about 2 weeks before our departure, this organization called us and said, well, they are very sorry, but something happened. This family cannot take us. And they had already made some inquiries, but on such short notice, only one family was willing to take us. And that was a family not in Florida, but in Wisconsin. And that is quite something different, right? So, it was a family with seven small children at that time. My sister and I thought, well, that's not really what we were looking for. We wanted to have sun and beach and not seven small children in our vacation and during our vacation. But we decided, well, before we have to stay at home, let's do this. So in God's providence, we ended up with this host family, and this host family, the father and the mother, they were the first born again Christians we ever met. Wow. And they had 6 weeks. The entire summer vacation, they had 6 weeks to talk to us about the gospel, about the word of God. And they did. And we had some discussions, and I was very proud. You know, when they first told me, yeah, we believe in a six-day creation because the Bible says so, I thought, oh, well, okay, they are stupid. No, we believe that. I mean, you know, I thought that's a prejudice some Europeans have, I guess.
And you mean the new apostolic church did not believe in a literal sense?
No. They believe in science, you know.
Okay.
And so there's a prejudice some Europeans have, I guess, is when you meet someone in America on the countryside, they are probably not very well educated. So and I thought, well, yeah, that's the proof. They believe in a six-day creation. Have they not heard of science? Yeah. So I was very proud. But you know what they said, it just stick with me. And I saw their faith, and I realized this faith is better than my faith. They have actual faith, and there was a power to it because you could see how this really transformed their lives. So everything they did, they did for Christ, and I'd never seen that before. You know, just being in a McDonald's and praying loud and giving thanks for the food, you would never do that as a new apostolic. You know, that would be embarrassing, right? So everything I heard and saw from them really convinced me that there was something to that, you know, what they were telling me. So when I was back in Germany, I still was in the new apostolic church. I didn't know where else to go. I, of course, knew of the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church and the Mormons and the Witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses. But I knew, okay, those are not the churches I want to go to. I want to find a church like I experienced in America. But I didn't know where to turn to. So I stayed in the New Apostolic Church. And then I don't think I was saved by that time. But God had begun a work in me. And then I wanted to have this, to see this faith again that I experienced in America. So I started watching sermons by American preachers. I thought, well, maybe this kind of faith is an American thing. Maybe it's an American faith, yeah? I've never seen it here in Germany. So let's try to listen to American preachers. And, I think YouTube was just started. Yeah, it was very new. And I went online and found the shocking youth message by Paul Washer.
Oh, yeah.
And that got me, you know. I understood that he was talking about me, that I was pretending to be a Christian, but was actually on my way to hell.
Isn't that the message where Paul said to the audience something like, I don't know why you're smiling, I'm talking about you?
Yeah, I don't know why you're clapping, I'm talking about
you.
Yeah,
there you
exactly.
go.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and I understood he was talking about me. You know, I wasn't transformed, my heart wasn't changed. I was like just like the world. I was just pretending outwardly to be something else. But I understood, for the first time, I really understood that God is an angry God and a just God, and that he will judge me at the end of time. And I will not make it to heaven because I'm just a hypocrite. And something changed there. So this was my, looking back at least, I had no concept of what a what the new birth really is, yeah, what conversation really is. But looking back, that's where I was saved, right? So, and because things started to change, I began to read the Bible and actually believe it, including the six-day creation and everything else. Yes, and the more I read the Bible and believed the Bible, the more I realized that what I heard from the pulpit in the New Apostolic Church didn't align to what I read in the Bible. It wasn't the Bible they were preaching. It wasn't the gospel they were preaching. So I got more and more upset with the New Apostolic Church, and of course I tried to convince people, but of what I have newly found out, but they were not really interested in having my thoughts. So that there came the time when I just said to my wife, I was married by then, and I said to my wife, you know, I have no idea where to go now. I don't know what the alternative is, but I will not go to the New Apostolic Church again. I'm finished. I will not go there again. I don't know what to do. Let's just pray and wait what God will show us. And 2 weeks later, I heard that Peter Schild, my now co-pastor, was coming to Frankfurt and was starting a church plant. So I went there, and after about 2 minutes, I knew that's what I was looking for. That's the faith I had seen in America. It's just faith in the Bible, in the Word of God. And I knew I had found my new home. So God was very gracious. It took only 2 weeks, yeah, until I had a new church. And maybe to add this, my wife was also saved. My sister was also saved. And even my parents were saved.
Wow.
They had been in the New Apostolic Church for 63 years.
Wow.
I think 63 years. And, you know, my mother wanted to, when I told my mother, I'm not going back to the New Apostolic Church, I'm leaving that church, she cried through the entire night because she thought I was lost. The New Apostolic Church, you think, well, that is the only way. You need those apostles. Because only they can proclaim the forgiveness of sin, and only they can give you the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands and so on. So we thought salvation is only with those apostles in the New Apostolic Church. So my mother cried through the entire night, and then she got really upset and said, I want to go where you go. I want to see what's going on there. And she came with an attitude, yeah? But she was convinced that this was actually the word of God that was spoken there, and she stayed. But my father didn't want to come. I think it took another half a year or so, or even longer. And my mother was always, you know, telling him, yeah, you have to come, you have to come. And in the end, he said, okay, so just so that you stop asking me and pressuring me, I will come. And he came once and stayed. And he told me later, you know, he was a very successful businessman. And he told me later that the sheer thought that he could have been wrong in his entire life on something as important as the faith was just unbearable for him, because he always was right, he always had success, and he couldn't really bear this, even the thought that he might have been wrong in his entire life. But by the grace of God, he humbled himself and he came, and he was also saved. So the entire family was baptized in January 2015, and they are all part of the church now. And my father is now 73, and he's a deacon in our church. And I'm so grateful to God that my father can use his last years to really work for God and work in His kingdom. So, yeah, that's my story.
I love the story. And was that congregation, even back then, when you visited the Evangelical Reformed Baptist Church?
Yes. So it was the church plant. It was the beginning of the church plant, which then 2 years later, 2.5 years later, resulted in the constitution of the Evangelical Reformed Baptist Church.
Oh, praise God. Well, we're going to go to our first commercial break. If you have a question for Tobias Riemenschneider, either on his testimony or on the Frankfurt Declaration or on the congregation where he serves or on his book on tyranny, we ask of you to submit that question to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. On top of the monthly financial support that RoyalDiadem.com already provides automatically to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, on top of that, they are going to give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's as simple as that. You make your purchase, or you have your custom designed piece of jewelry created. When you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will receive 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry. So if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for yourself or perhaps someone you love, Easter will be here before you know it, Mother's Day, Father's Day, wedding anniversaries, or perhaps you're even popping the question to that special lady in your life and you want the perfect engagement ring that you want custom designed by RoyalDiadem.com. Well, whatever the case may be, please go to RoyalDiadem.com as soon as possible, at least to get the ball rolling on your purchase, and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The reason why I'm saying to do that today is because we have no idea when RoyalDiadem.com will bring an end to this phenomenal offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Tobias Riemenschneider, and he is pastor of the Evangelical Reformed Baptist Church of Frankfurt, Germany, and he is also the co-author of the Frankfurt Declaration and the author of Resisting Tyranny, A Christian Response to Government Overreach. If you have a question for Tobias, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Tobias, a part of the testimony you have not revealed yet is when you realized the Lord had placed a call upon your life to enter into pastoral ministry. How did that come about?
Yeah. So I was part of this church plant from 2014 on. And so I first had to learn a lot. But only by the grace of God, I I really made fast progress, and to the point where people starting to come to me with their questions, and I was somehow able to answer them and answer them biblically and correctly. Yeah. So and this development continued to the point where people said, well, he should be our pastor, together with Peter. Yeah. So. And so I slowly grow into that role. I've never really. Now I wanted to have some. Some role in that new church that was going to be planted. I knew I wanted to come to contribute, but I really didn't think of becoming a pastor. But it just so happened, yes, that more and more people actually told me, well, we think you should be our pastor. And this was very important for me. I mean, I think you should also have some sort of inner calling. What is more important for me is the calling by the church, because I can deceive myself. I know many young men who believe they are called by God to do great things, and I'm not sure if others agree. So for me, it's important that others see this as well, that the church agrees and says, we think you should be a pastor. Because we see how God is working in you and through you, and we see the progress you're making, and we think you meet the biblical qualifications. So I was still a little afraid, because I knew what a great sinner I was and still am. But I didn't feel fit for that ministry. But I think Paul says no one is fit, right? So it was basically how this came about. Then also in my heart, the desire grow to be a shepherd for these people. It changed how I viewed those people. I began to view them as sheep, and feel it became a shepherd. I became a shepherd. Got a shepherd's heart for them, and so I slowly just grew into this. And when the church was constituted in 2016, Peter and I were both ordained as pastors. I was only, so I still worked full time as a lawyer. So Peter was full time pastoring the church. I was just trying to do my best here, but was still fully employed as a lawyer. And just, I don't know exactly, maybe 3 years ago or so, I was able to also become a full-time pastor, which, also this desire, it just grew and grew stronger and stronger while the years passed. So, this is just how it happened. God just slowly put me into that position, and I'm grateful for that. I have no regrets whatsoever that I left my job as a lawyer. I earned much more as a lawyer than I do now as a pastor, but I'm very grateful that I could actually make this transition and now work full time as a pastor.
Amen. Now we enter into focusing on your book, Resisting Tyranny, A Christian Response to Government Overreach. Did this book start in your writing process before the Frankfurt Declaration, or during it, or after it?
Yeah, so this book is a compilation of statements, including the Frankfurt Declaration, but also sermons and talks at conferences and so on, that I gave during the COVID years. And they all have something to do with COVID. There's, for example, a long sermon. It was a 90-minute sermon. I think even 91 minutes about Romans 13 and many other things. So this is a compilation of what I did during COVID. And this wasn't even my idea. I never have ideas for books. It's always other people, some publishers who come and say, well, I listened to your sermon. Can we print that? So, and the same happened with this book. A Christian publisher came and said, I would like to make a book with everything you did on COVID, almost everything. And I said, well, that's a great idea, and I did that. I compiled everything, and then it was first published in German. here in Germany. And somehow, I don't even remember how exactly, but somehow Joe Boot got his hands on it and said he wanted to publish it in English with Ezra Press. And so I translated everything into English, and then it was published, with the title Resisting Tyranny in English. And I think it is for once a good reminder of what happened during these years. And I think you can often hear how emotional it was. You know, this really happened to us. We really were afraid. We thought we have to flee our country when general vaccine mandate comes and so on. Yeah, so you can hear how emotional this was. You can, I think, little relive that if someone wants to do that. I don't know, but I think it's a good witness, a good testimony for what happened during the time. And then also because I tried to do everything I said and wrote to really be very Bible-based, Bible-saturated, and to not just give my thoughts on the current situation, but to try to produce something that really is of some value, not just for the next 2 years, but hopefully for years to come. Maybe when something like COVID returns or so, I don't know. Yeah, but that was the idea, to work really on the basis of the Bible, to be very very precise, very to produce something that would be of value for maybe even generations to come. I don't know if that book is that good that generations to come want to read it, but that was the idea, to produce something really solid. And so that's why I believe it's interesting to read. It's interesting to read as a reminder to what happened, but also to give you a good foundation to how to think about state-church relationship, or even state-citizen relationship. What can the church, what can the state actually do? And where are the limits of, God-given limits of its authority, and so on and so forth. So I believe this will be a valuable book, not just for COVID, but also beyond.
Well, praise God, and I am glad that book is in print and available for the benefit of the body of Christ, and also the praise, honor, and glory of our Lord, God, Savior, and King. And we do have some listener questions that have come in. Mm-hmm. We have Gretchen in Mystic, Connecticut. And Gretchen asks, you mentioned that there are hardly any Reformed Baptist churches in Germany, and that Reformed theology in general is greatly despised by the majority of Germans. But is there a reasonably large percentage of conservative evangelicalism at all in Germany?
Yeah, that's a good question. So for the first time, I think, a year or two ago, for the first time, the majority of Germans said they are not Christian at all. So we are now, if you want to go with majorities, we are now officially an atheist country. Well, maybe turning into a Muslim country, I don't know. But more than 50% of the population now says we are not Christians. Those who still say they are Christians, it's almost split equally between the Lutheran state church, which is called, in Germany, is called the Evangelical Church, yeah? But it's the church basically that Luther founded, and the Roman Catholic Church. And then you have some others. Yeah, you, of course, have the New Apostolic Church, which has officially, I think, still 350,000 members in Germany. And you have all the other cults and so on. But those who would actually count as evangelicals are just 2% of the population. And to be honest, many of them are probably also not really born again Christians. Yeah, there are also many nominal Christians among those evangelical churches. So, Germany is spiritually a very dark place. The Lutheran Church is completely, they lost it completely. They are woke. They have not just female preachers, but homosexual female preachers, and every so they are as woke as you can get.
Wow! Now is that all Lutherans? There are no German Lutheran denominations that have any kind of an affiliation with, for instance, in America, you have the very conservative Missouri Synod Lutheran churches and the Wisconsin Synod and some others that are conservative. There's no churches like that in Germany left?
Well, so if you look at the evangelical church, the big Lutheran church,
right?
The Lutheran state church, let's call them that.
Right, right.
This is not completely homogenous. Yeah, you have some groups that are still more Bible believing, that are more conservative. You know, there's one pastor from the city of Bremen, which is in the north of Germany, at the North Sea almost, and he got famous because he was accused, and his court case is still going. So he was accused of incitement of the people because he said some clear but biblical words about homosexuality and transgenderism. And so he is one of the few pastors within this Lutheran state church that is still a real believer. And he himself says that he believed that 96% of the pastors in the Lutheran state church are not born-again Christians. They would mock the virgin birth and so on and so forth. So they are just atheists. There are also a few other small denominations. There's, for example, an independent Lutheran church. I think they are still more conservative. But when I remember correctly, they only have 30,000 members in all of Germany. So they are really small. So if you're looking for really born-again, Bible-believing Christians, you probably have to go to these 2% of evangelical free churches. We call them free churches because they're not state churches, right? And even then, you have some denominations there which I would probably not call very Bible-believing. But that's the situation. No, I was just asked by a sister who was newly saved, got saved, and he lives in Leipzig. Leipzig is one of the biggest German cities. More than 500,000 people live there. He asked me, "Do you know any good church in that region?" And I said, "No, I don't. Actually, we have two brothers who moved from Leipzig to Frankfurt to join our church because they were not able to find a church in Leipzig." And that's not so uncommon. You know, people move to our church from almost everywhere, from Munich and from Hamburg. And so it's really difficult to find a good church, let alone a Reformed church. That's really difficult in Germany.
Okay. By the way, Gretchen, you have won a free copy of the book we are addressing, Resisting Tyranny. So please make sure we have your full mailing address in Mystic, Connecticut. We have to go to our midway break right now. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers, keeping in mind that they are responsible for the existence of our program. And also send in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717 717- 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVVBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And we are so honored and so grateful to solid-ground-books.com that they think so highly of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They spend a very generous portion of the money with which God has blessed them with us, through their advertising dollars, so that we can remain on the air. So I'm asking all of you listening, if you've never purchased a book from solid-ground-books.com before, please, today, go to solid-ground-books.com and make your very first purchase. Also, even if you are a regular, perhaps even a monthly customer of solid-ground-books.com, I ask of you to go to that website today and make your largest purchase ever, if indeed you can afford to do so. Keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print sometimes treasures of history that have been lost and hidden by the years of time and unavailable to the body of Christ until solid-ground-books.com rediscovered these works and brought them back into print. Some of these books have not been available to the body of Christ for centuries. And, of course, they bring back into print wonderful volumes spanning the centuries all the way up through our current day, and bring into print for the very first time books that they publish themselves by such wonderful brethren of our modern day as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a mutual, very close friend of myself and my guest today, Tobias Riemenschneider. So if you would please go to solid-ground-books.com today. Visit that site frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Tobias Riemenschneider, I have just a couple of announcements to make. Folks, please, if you love this show and do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer a snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address through your local post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio. If you want to advertise, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please remember, I never want anybody in my audience giving less money than you normally give to your own church in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, never cut in to the finances you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive financially, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear. We are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're primarily to use that to provide for our church and our family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you want us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like the Evangelical Reformed Baptist Church of Frankfurt, Germany, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, in all parts of the planet Earth. So no matter where you live in the world, if you are without a church home that's biblically faithful, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Tobias Riemenschneider. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. By the way, Tobias, how close is Munich to Frankfurt?
That's about a 3.5 to 4 hours drive on the Autobahn.
Okay. So, wow.
Not going too slow.
Well, I don't know if a listener who contacted me about 2 years ago, Indira, originally from India, I don't know if she is listening today. Perhaps providentially, if she's not listening live, she'll eventually listen on the podcast. But she had contacted me saying that she was moving from India to Munich. And I did give her a couple of recommendations that were recommended to me. One of them is Soli Deo Gloria Church in the Munich,
yes,
in the Munich area.
And yeah, I know them.
And another one is, and I don't think I'll be pronouncing this correctly, but it looks like in English it would say the Free Evangelical Church, the Frei Evangelische Gemeinde. I don't know how to pronounce it.
That was good. The last one was good.
The last one is good?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know of any other churches in Munich that you recommend, I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there are at least two more churches. I guess probably the Free Evangelical Church is probably the one I was thinking of. They are not really Reformed, but at least they have a Calvinistic soteriology. They are a little more aligned to Tim Keller and Russell Moore and so on. So, if you are in Munich and have to stay there, then go to that church.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But the Soli Deo Gloria Church, we know them. We help them actually really reform their church.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that is a yeah, a good idea to go there. And
I was just going to say, after the show, I could forward you Indira's original email to me, and maybe you'd want to reach out to her. And who knows?
Yes.
She might even want to just visit, because, you know, she's living in Germany. People often
travel. Yeah, you know, just a few months ago, a brother from India who had moved to Munich moved to us to Frankfurt to join our church. So,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I will be happy to be in touch with her.
Great. Let's see here. We have an interesting question from Rockford in Bating Hollow, Long Island, New York. And Rockford says, it seems to me from what I have heard that the government in Germany is very embarrassed about their history involving the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler, and they seek to overcome those horrific sins of the past in that nation. But it also seems that they are oblivious to the authoritarian steps they are taking in a left-leaning direction. Are they not?
Yes.
Are they not aware that they could be one day just returning to the crimes and horrors of their past by going in this direction?
What a great question. Yes. So, yeah, first of all, yeah, we are very aware of what happened in the Third Reich, what the Nazis did. I mean, I'm still the generation where it was my grandparents who participated in this, right? So younger people don't have this direct connection anymore, but I still have this direct connection via my grandparents.
Are they still alive? Your grandparents?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
But you know, I was born in '83, so that was not too far away from the end of World War II.
3 years after I graduated from high school.
Now I feel young again. Thank you. So there is this. Some even call it a cult, where we are really into our sins, and so we are really. Talking a lot about our guilt. We actually, you know, right in the city, in the middle of our capital city of Berlin, we built a huge, it's a huge monument, but it's just meant to remind us of the evils the Germans committed during the Third Reich. So someone once said, I'm not sure if that's true, but someone once said the Germans are the only people who actually built monuments to remind them of their own guilt. I'm not sure if that's true, but that is certainly something we are very aware of. And now comes this twist. Yeah, that's why I love this question. We don't understand is that this can also come from the left. You know, right now there is a rather new party in Germany, political party, that is just conservative. It's probably not even as conservative as the American Republicans, but yeah, probably in that direction. And everyone is afraid of them, that they will bring about another Third Reich, that they will become those Nazis.
Just like they're claiming about conservative Christians in the United States.
Yeah. They are all Nazis, right? Exactly. They are all extremists and so on. That's what they think. What they don't see is that, the Nazis, Nazi is short, is an abbreviation for National Socialists.
Right.
So those guys were socialists.
Yes.
And they don't understand that.
They were left wing. They weren't right wing.
Yes. So they have this national thing going on. Yeah. But they were socialists, so they believed in a strong state, in a state doctrine, a state ideology, and in the oppression of all other religions and ideologies. And that's actually not what just right-wing people do, who are actually freedom-loving. You know, most right-wing guys, at least in Germany today, they are just freedom-loving, and they are just, you know, they are just sensible. They are not out of their mind. They are not crazy as many others are. Yeah, but But the left would frame them, even the German government, they are very much, you know, the German government organized protests against this conservative party. So a country where the government organizes protests, that's normally not in a democratic country, right? That's strange. So that's where we are already, that the government is organizing protests against this conservative party. And what they don't see is exactly that they are the ones who are right now using the state power to impose their ideology on others. And they did that, of course, especially during COVID. So they are actually the socialists, the leftists. Yeah, they are the socialists who are willing to trample on the freedoms of people and make the state strong and have a state ideology, which is always an anti-Christian ideology. And that is exactly what I think where the problem lies. We are very much afraid of racism, of anyone saying anything against some foreigners, which is good. Yeah, racism is a great evil. But what we don't see is that socialism is actually what makes racism so dangerous. Socialism is what uses the state power to do injustice.
Well, thank you so much, Rockford, in Baiting Hollow, Long Island. And you have also won a free copy of the book that we are addressing, Resisting Tyranny, by my guest, my dear brother, Tobias Riemenschneider. And so make sure that we get your full mailing address in Baiting Hollow, New York, so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that book out to you. I am very glad that you are fully aware, Tobias, about the left-leaning history of the Nazis, because it is most frequently portrayed in the opposite direction in order to tie in conservatives like evangelical Christians into their slander.
Yeah. And no one will tell you about this at school. Right. You have to find out yourself.
Not even here. Not even in the United States. They won't tell you.
Yeah.
And most Christians are ignorant of this as well.
Yeah.
Even though it's common knowledge that they were called the National Socialists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. We have Boyd in Apache Junction, Arizona. And Boyd asks, I was wondering if your guest today, Tobias, is aware of the book by Scott Lively, The Pink Swastika, Homosexuality in the Nazi Party, which you have conducted an interview on in the past. Yes, I've had Scott Lively on the program, and we addressed his book. Are you familiar with that book that reveals, and it's a fascinating book because it's heavily footnoted, and much of the information proving that the early Nazis were flooded with homosexuals, that the historic resources that Scott Lively and his Orthodox Jewish co-author used were not only Jewish contemporaries of the Nazis, but homosexual contemporaries of the Nazis. So I don't know if you've read the book. I found it fascinating.
Yeah, I've heard of that book, but I haven't read it. But it, you know, it doesn't really amaze me too much, because if you have a biblical worldview and you just read Romans 1, then you know that if someone is so evil, it's because they are denying God and God gives them over, and part of that giving over is also being given over to homosexuality. So I wouldn't be too surprised, but I haven't read the book.
I think you can read the entire book online for free, so I will try to get you that information.
Yes, thanks.
Thanks, Boyd, and make sure we get your full mailing address in Apache Junction, Arizona, because you have also won a free copy of the book by Tobias Riemenschneider on Resisting Tyranny. And by the way, that reminds me of something before I forget. I don't know how close Apache Junction is to Mesa, Arizona. but you are going to be in Mesa, Arizona at Apologia Church next week, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, Boyd, I will be close to you, whatever that means in America. I mean, you have much bigger distances than we have in Germany. But yeah, I will be flying to Arizona on Tuesday next week. So in about a week from now, I will be in Phoenix. I will be visiting James White and Jeff Durbin. We are planning to record a few podcasts there. Hopefully also The Dividing Line and then the Apologia podcast. They even say they will let me preach at Apologia Church. I don't know why. But, so I will be, God willing, able to preach there, which is a little exciting. You know, it will be the second time for me preaching in English. I've done so once about a year ago at a conference in Scotland with Conrad and Baver and Tim Conway and some others. But this is, this is much bigger, of course. Apologia is well known. So I'm a little excited. This will be the first time where we'll be probably able to speak to a bigger audience and have to preach in English, which is a little scary. But I'm looking forward to it.
And if anybody wants more information about that, go to apologiachurch.com. apologiachurch.com. And is that the only place where you'll be speaking in the States?
No. I will stay in Arizona in Phoenix for 5 or 6 days, and then I fly to Washington, but only to be picked up and taken to Roanoke, I think that's how it's pronounced. It's probably wrong. But that's a city in Virginia.
Yes.
And that's where Heart Cry Missionary Society is located. Paul Washer's Missionary Society. Heart Cry has been supporting us financially for over a decade now. And this is the first time Peter and I will be there and see the office and talk to Paul and the other brothers there. And we will also on Wednesday, Wednesday the 28th, I think, or 27th, we will also be speaking there in the church. I couldn't give you the name right now, but it's the church where most of the Heart Cry staff also is. So we will give an update on the work in Germany there.
Well, would that be Christ Church, where Anthony Matheny is the pastor?
No, not anymore. It's now a new church.
Oh, okay.
But I forgot the name now. But it's near Roanoke.
Okay. Yes, I have been to Roanoke many years ago. Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, which I know is still there because my pastor recently prayed for that church from the pulpit. I want you to remind Paul Washer, who I interviewed once, and he wrote a very wonderful commendation for my show. I want you to remind Paul Washer that he promised me another interview because he said he loved the first one so much. And so far, I have been unsuccessful in getting him back on the show. So I want you to shame him and embarrass him into agreeing.
I would do so. I call into question his entire character over this.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. His health isn't too good, So he had a surgery done and so on. So maybe that's part of the problem.
I do know that he's been battling health problems for many years.
Mm-hmm. So yes.
Well, let's see. We have another listener. This is another listener in Arizona, Quentin, in Paradise Valley, Arizona. And Quentin says, do you share the postmillennial and theonomic eschatology of our brothers Jeff Durbin and James White?
Is there another eschatology? No, I do share that. No, I, I am a theonomist and a postmillennialist. Yes.
Yes, and when I was a new Christian in the 1980s, you had to search far and wide to find a Reformed Baptist church that was theonomic. In fact, I only knew of one of them, which is here in Pennsylvania, pastored by Bill Einwechter. But now they seem to be fairly reasonably common, at least in Reformed Baptist circles.
Yeah, I think that it's also at least partly due to the situation we found ourselves in. I mean, I became a postmillennialist during COVID.
Ah.
Not because of COVID, not because I said, well, I need some hope, so let's become a postmillennialist. I mean, a hope has to be founded in the Bible to be true, otherwise it's I was convinced by the Bible, by especially by 1 Corinthians 15, but it had something to do with COVID, and also with the entire transgenderism stuff and so on that also happened basically at the same time, and is still happening, of course. I had to think about these things. So what do I actually believe will happen? Will our country, will the entire world just go to hell in a handbasket? There's nothing we can do. Will we just lose? Or does it actually make sense to fight these things, to be brave, to stand up and to fight? And I came to the conclusion that it makes sense to fight because we will probably not lose here, but win here. So this gave me strength and made me courageous. And I think that's what many, especially young Christians, young pastors, feel, that they have to battle eschatology because of the times we are in. We have to think about these things. And I think it's good if you come to a postmillennial understanding. This is certainly something which can give you hope and can make you courageous, if you believe that Christ is actually reigning now and that he might win. That makes you strong. Yeah, I'm not saying that others are not strong. I mean, I guess John MacArthur is a very good example that you can be strong even though you're not a postmillennialist, even though you're opposed to postmillennialism. But it is certainly helpful.
Great, and we have Tina Marie in Cottonwood Heights, Utah, who says, "Are you aware of any kind of focus that your government may have on your church and its activities, just as it seems is occurring here in the United States, where our government seems to be in some way, even in a stealth or secretive fashion, focusing upon and tracking the activities of conservatives?"
Yes. So the only thing which I know for sure is that it was during COVID, the state of Baden-Württemberg, you know, Germany, similar to the U.S., we consist of 16 states, and one of the biggest ones is Baden-Württemberg. And they issued a brochure where they warned against, conspiracy theorists, or however they called it. So people who opposed the state measures during COVID. And they mentioned me specifically. They mentioned me by name and warned against me. And this happens. I know that that this is true. I'm not, to be honest, we are probably one of few churches which really addresses all the critical issues. You know, within the last year, I preached on homosexuality, I preached on transgenderism, I preached on politics, and didn't say what the government likes, I guess. So, and many, many other things. So, right yesterday, I preached on the manliness of Christ and also said a few things that probably render me dangerous in the eyes of some. So I wouldn't be too surprised to learn that that actually there's some focus on our church. But as I said, the only thing I know for sure is this brochure by one state.
Great. Well, we are going to our final commercial break. And if anybody wants to submit a question and you want to get in line, there are a couple of people already waiting to have their questions asked and answered. If you want to get in line, send your question to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And by the way, all of our listeners who have submitted questions to my guest today, that you are also winners of the book that we have been addressing, Resisting Tyranny by Tobias Riemenschneider. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnson here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654.
Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Thank you.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
And that just reminded me, I've got to see if my friend and sponsor, Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed Church in Phoenix, can make sure he schedules an appointment to meet you, Tobias. I think he shares a lot in common with your theology and worldview.
I absolutely loved his ad. He seems to be a great guy with a great church.
Yes. We have Boris in Orchard Homes, Montana. And Boris asks, you mentioned in the early part of the program that Germans typically have a great disdain for Calvinism. Would that include even conservative Christians there? There are many here in the United States that treat Calvinism as if it is the doctrine of demons.
Yeah, the same in Germany. Maybe with the exception that we have even less Reformed churches than you do. So, that is very common. It seems like if you want to be a good pastor, you have to have you have to say something against Calvinism at least once, maybe more often. So this is very common. Yeah, you would always warn against Calvinism. Yeah, a doctrine of demons, certainly a false doctrine. Maybe I can give you just one example, which I find hilarious. We have many German Russian churches in Germany, and they are conservative, but normally, not everyone, every church is the same, but normally they will really despise Calvinism. But they love Spurgeon. Yeah. So there was an instance where a brother from one of those churches became a Calvinist. And they had a church meeting to expel him from the church, to excommunicate him because of Calvinism. And he said, yeah, but don't you think Spurgeon was a great guy? Yeah, Spurgeon was great. Yeah, but he was a Calvinist. No, that can't be true. Well, yes, he is. Well, then he's also a false teacher. Okay, so that's really, both people will think that Calvinism, as the brother said, is a doctrine of demons.
Yeah. Yes, I have experienced exactly that. In fact, I worked for a radio station, and a friend of mine, who's an independent fundamentalist Baptist, went on the air on his show and was slandering my church, even though we were friends. And he said that church is deceiving people into believing that Charles Spurgeon agreed with them on theology. So I wrote him a 13-page letter, which include many quotes by Spurgeon, and he had the audacity to respond to my letter with one sentence. "Your letter contains little scripture and much thus saith Spurgeon." So I said, "How do you prove what Spurgeon believed by quoting the scripture?"
And
I said to him, "If somebody said to me that you believe in speaking in tongues, how would I refute that? By quoting the Bible or by quoting you?"
Of course.
He didn't answer. You know,
And I mean, Spurgeon, when he wrote his autobiography, he included a chapter, which normally doesn't really fit into a biography, but he included a chapter entitled "A Defense of Calvinism."
Yes.
So he was serious on this. And
Chapel Library printed that into a booklet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he even said Calvinism is the gospel.
Yes.
And I would agree. Of course, he did not mean that anyone who doesn't believe Calvinism can't be saved because they don't have the gospel. But Calvinism is essentially the gospel. That's what it's all about. All is in saving people, in soteriology, everything is about the grace of God. So it is a very important doctrine. And to be honest, so this is one goal I have. You know, when I close my eyes here and be with the Lord, I want to have made a difference in Germany. And one thing I really want to do is to advance Reformed theology. Yeah, to teach Calvinism, make people understand it, see that it is actually biblical, and not a doctrine of demons, but a doctrine of Christ. So,
amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. We have either Clevin or Clevon in Winooski, Vermont. And Clevin or Clevon asks, "Are there great heroes of German church history other than Martin Luther whose writings you use to evangelize those in your area?"
Yes, there are. Of course, many of them haven't gained international fame, yeah, because of course they wrote and spoke in German, but there are. Luther for sure is the most important one, but there have been others. I mean, I could give you a few names. I'm not sure if that would be helpful, but there's Hofacker or Krummacher. One who you surely know is Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer, you know, he was killed in a concentration camp because he resisted the Nazi regime. He probably was part of the man who wanted to kill Hitler.
Right.
The problem with Bonhoeffer, though, is that even though I admire him for what
neo-Orthodox
he did, he was a liberal, you know, and but there are other men. For example, Paul Schneider, he's not very well known, but he was a really solid Christian, and he also died in a concentration camp because he also would resist the tyranny of the Nazis. So there are a few. The only problem is that there are very few reformed ones because, as I said, Germany never was really reformed.
Right.
It was very much influenced by the two big state churches, the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran state church.
And just to throw this out there, from what I understand is that Bonhoeffer, even though he may have drawn erroneous conclusions theologically, was he not responding to and militating against the dead liberalism of Germany? Isn't it that why they would consider themselves confessing Christians, because they were actually putting their beliefs into action?
Yes, that is true. And that is what I appreciate, that he did not have a death faith, but a faith that actually encouraged him to act accordingly.
And he would never be embracing the liberal lunacy of today.
I don't hope so. Yeah.
Right.
By
the way, Clevon or Clevin, give me your full mailing address in Winooski, Vermont, because you've also won a free copy of Resisting Tyranny by my guest, Tobias Riemenschneider. Well, I want to make sure that you have several minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we run out of time.
Yes. So, a few things. First of all, I know most of your listeners probably are from America. And I want to say that I'm very grateful to the Americans and to the American church and the American pastors. I know you also have issues in the church, right? But most of what I know, what I've learned, I learned from good men from America, especially James White and a few others. There is no real solid theology in Germany. There's no theological debate and so on and so forth. So almost everything I learned from American pastors, American teachers. I was first brought into contact with Christianity in America. So I am grateful to the Americans, yeah, at least to the American Christians, and how God is using them, even to save me and to build me up as a pastor and so on. Then I would ask you to pray for us, because we are in a very difficult situation. I think I mentioned that a few times. There are only very few really good churches that would be willing to fight. And we have so much we need to do, especially, maybe I can mention that, you know, in Germany, homeschooling is outlawed. So you have to send your kids to school. And the schools haven't gotten any better. In the last years, it's just awful. It's probably the same as it is in America, pretty much the same, with homosexuality and transgenderism and everything. So what we want to do is to build a private Christian school. That is possible in Germany. It's not easy to do that, but it is possible. We have a constitutional right to build private schools. And this is something I would appreciate prayers for. And maybe if I may dare to say so, maybe in half a year or a year's time, when we are really at the point where we can start building this school, we will probably also need funds. And I don't know where these can come from, except from America. So you don't get me wrong, but I want to get that out there. So.
Well, give all of the details for our listeners who may want to financially support what you're doing.
If you want to do that, you can go to our website, erb-frankfurt.de. It is in English. It is in German, but I guess you can probably switch to English somehow. And there is a donation page. If you want to donate something, you can do that. I think it's PayPal and some credit cards. So it will probably work for you. You can go to that donation site and send us something. Maybe let me know it's for the school. That would be very helpful. And then the last thing probably I would like to say is, you know, we've been talking about COVID, about state overreach and so on. I would want to encourage everyone to stay strong in the faith that has been delivered to us, and not be afraid of men who can only kill the body. Don't be afraid of the state. Whatever will come in the future, and maybe a few bad things will happen, but don't lose focus on Christ. Don't be discouraged, but be willing to fight to further his kingdom.
Amen. I want to repeat your websites for our listeners, erb-frankfurt.de. That's ERB for Evangelical Reformed Baptist-frankfurt.de. And also frankfurtdeclaration.com. You even exceeded my already high expectations for being such a superb guest today. Tobias, I hope that you enjoyed yourself as much as I did and want to return to my show frequently. I would love to interview as often as I can. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.